In the west, beyond the horizon where the sun dips each evening, there lies a garden untouched by mortal feet. Its air shimmers with gold, and the scent of unseen blossoms drifts like whispered secrets. This is the garden of the Hesperides, three sisters who move silently among the trees. Aegle, Erythea, and Hespera, their hair glinting like sunlight on water. They tend a grove of golden apples, gifts from Gaia herself, infused with immortality and divine radiance. A mortal hero once came seeking the treasure, expecting gold and glory, but the sisters did not give it so freely. "Why do you come?" they asked, their voices like wind through leaves. "Are you ready to witness beauty without taking it? To honor life without controlling it?" The hero faltered, realizing that the garden was not a prize, but a mirror reflecting his own desires, vanity, and the balance of the universe. The Hesperides are keepers of luminous secrets. They whispered, "All that is sacred must be protected, not possessed. And in guarding, you learn your own light." The Hesperides are nymphs in Greek mythology, traditionally 3 to 7 in number, daughters of Nyx, or daughters of the Titan Atlas and the sea nymph Hesperis, depending on your source. According to Hesiod's Theogony, he wrote, "And night bore hateful doom and black fate, and death and sleep and the brood of dreams. And after these, the goddess Murky Night bore the Hesperides, who keep the golden apples beyond the famous ocean and the trees that bear fruit." The Hesperides include Aegle, or radiance, Erythea, or redness, Hesper, or evening, Arethusa, or flowing, Lipara, Asterope, Hesperusa, all meaning starry. The Hesperides are entrusted with tending a sacred grove in the far west on Mount Atlas, where the golden apples grow. They are a symbol of immortality, divine favor, and cosmic balance. The garden was traditionally thought to lie near the Atlas Mountains in northwestern Africa. However, Apollonius of Rhodes situated it near Lake Triton in Libya, while the Greek geographer Strabo placed it in the Tartessus in what is now southern Spain. The Greek author Skylax of Karyanda described the garden as being enclosed by a high wall on all sides and filled with a variety of fruit trees. The divine orchard of golden apples were gifts from the primordial mother goddess Gaia to Hera on her wedding day to Zeus. To protect them, Hera placed the Hesperides as caretakers. Later, the many-headed dragon Ladon, or serpent depending on your source, was sent to guard the trees by the goddess Hera, since she did not trust the nymphs not to eat the apples. The Hesperides, or daughters of the evening star, they are known for their singing, which enchanted the garden and soothed the dragon. It was their duty to protect the sacred grove of golden apples that bestowed immortality upon all who taste them. The golden glow from these apples was also thought to be the source of sunsets. From this garden, Eris, the goddess of discord, plucked the fateful apple of discord, setting in motion the events that would culminate in the Trojan War. The Hesperides were regarded as goddesses of the evening and of wedding nights. Ancient depictions often portray them present at the wedding of Peleus and Thetis, where they serve ambrosia to the gods during the feast. The wedding of Peleus and Thetis was one of the most famous divine gatherings in Greek mythology, a moment that set into motion the events leading to the Trojan War. It was attended by nearly all of the Olympian gods and the goddesses, who brought with them sacred gifts and blessings. According to several ancient sources, the Hesperides were among those present, serving and singing during the feast, symbolizing divine delight and celestial harmony. At this wedding, the Hesperides appear as attendants who serve ambrosia and wine to the gods, and they all join in song. They act as bringers of divine nourishment and joy, reflecting their connection to the golden apples, symbols of immortality and eternal beauty. They are not central to the dramatic events like Eris and the Apple of Discord, but rather they form part of the chorus of grace and sacred order that defines the wedding's divine atmosphere. Their presence underscores their role as goddesses of blessings, of abundance, and evening light, an auspicious omen for union and fertility. The Hesperides are also present at the wedding of Cadmos and Harmonia. The wedding of Cadmos, who is the founder of Thebes, and Harmonia, the daughter of Ares and Aphrodite, was considered one of the most magnificent celebrations in Greek myth. It was attended by the gods themselves, and every divine being brought gifts, much like the wedding of Peleus and Thetis. And known as Dionysiaca, the Hesperides are specifically mentioned as part of this divine chorus who celebrates the marriage. They sing a wedding song, a hymn of beauty and joy, marking the sacred joining of mortal and divine bloodlines. They're also present at the wedding of Helios and Clymene. At this wedding in particular, the Hesperides perform what is called raising the joy cry. This is a recurring role that the Hesperides play amongst a number of weddings in Greek mythology. In the myth of Achelous, Heracles battles the river god for the hand of Deianira, and in the struggle, tore off one of Achelous' horns. This horn was later given to the Hesperides, who transformed it into the cornucopia, or what we know as the Horn of Plenty, by filling it with fruit and consecrating it as a symbol of abundance. In this role, the Hesperides serve as divine receivers and sanctifiers of the hero's trophy, turning it into an emblem of fertility and prosperity. In one of his 12 labors, Heracles was commanded to retrieve the golden apples of the Hesperides. After he completed the task, Athena returned the apples to their sacred garden in the western lands. One of the most well-known versions of this story tells how Heracles managed to obtain the apples through a clever trick. He persuaded Atlas, who bore the weight of the heavens upon his shoulders, to fetch the fruit for him. Because Atlas was the father of the Hesperides, he had easy access to their garden. Heracles offered to hold up the sky in Atlas's place while he went to collect the apples. When Atlas returned, he quickly realized that he had no desire to resume his eternal burden. He offered to deliver the apples to King Eurystheus himself, sparing Heracles from taking them back. Heracles agreed, but asked Atlas to take the sky again for a moment so that he could adjust his cloak for comfort. Once again, Atlas had lifted the weight back onto his own shoulders. Heracles took the apples and departed, leaving the Titan to his thankless task. Other versions of the myth omit Atlas entirely, saying instead that Heracles slew the dragon Ladon, who guarded the tree, and took the apples himself. The golden apples also appear in another tale involving the swift-footed huntress, Atalanta. She vowed to marry only a man who could outrun her in a race, and those who failed paid with their lives. One suitor, Melanion, or Hippomenes in some accounts, received 3 golden apples from the goddess Aphrodite. During the race, each time Atalanta began to overtake him, he dropped one of the apples. Distracted by their beauty, she paused to pick them up, allowing him to gain the lead. When he cast the 3rd apple far enough ahead, she stopped long enough for him to win the race, and he won her hand in marriage. The pair were happy for a time, until they were transformed into lions for profaning one of Zeus's temples, but that, as we know, is a completely other tale. In Book 4 of the Argonautica by Apollonius of Rhodes, the Hesperides briefly cross paths with another legendary band of seekers, Jason and the Argonauts. After enduring 12 days and nights carrying their ship, the Argo, across the blazing deserts of Libya, the heroes reached the edge of Lake Triton. Parched and exhausted, they searched desperately for water. It was then that they came upon the Garden of the Hesperides, once a place of song and gold, now hushed in mourning. The serpent Ladon, who was guardian of the golden apples, lay slain by Heracles, and the daughters of evening wept over his lifeless coils. When the Argonauts approached, the nymphs fell silent and dissolved into the earth, vanishing in a veil of dust and divine sorrow. But Orpheus, the poet and mystic amongst them, called out to the unseen maidens in a prayer both humble and reverent. O beautiful and kindly divinities, be gracious, powerful ones, whether you are counted amongst the goddesses of heaven or of the underworld, or are called shepherd nymphs, come, sacred daughters of ocean, answer our need. Reveal some spring, some holy water to quench the fire of our thirst. And if we ever return safely to Achaia, you shall be honored amongst the foremost goddesses with libations and feasts. Moved by Orpheus's plea, the Hesperides revealed themselves once more. To honor the Argonauts' courage, they caused trees to rise miraculously from the ground. Hesper became a poplar, Erytheus an elm, and Aigle the luminous trunk of a willow. When they returned to their nymph forms, Aigle spoke gently to the weary men. She told them of Heracles' earlier visit, of his thirst as fierce as their own, and how he had struck a rock near Lake Triton, releasing a stream of clear, living water. Guided by her words, Jason and his companions found the spring and drank deeply, saved by the compassion of the maidens who guarded the western light. In this mythic meeting, the Hesperides once again stand at the threshold between mortality and divinity, offering not golden fruit, but the even rarer gift of grace. In his description of Greece, the traveler and geographer Ficinus, he records that at the temple of Zeus in Olympia, screens once surrounded the great god's throne, shielding it from the public gaze. Upon these sacred partitions were paintings by Panaenus, the brother of the renowned sculptor Phidias. Among his works was an image of two of the Hesperides depicting their golden apples, which were symbols of divine beauty and immortality. Ficinus notes that these representations of the Hesperides, they were later removed from a nearby treasury by the people of Olympia and relocated to the temple of Hera, linking the nymphs more directly to the goddess whose wedding the apples had first sanctified. Although the Hesperides occupy a relatively minor role in Greek mythology compared to figures like Zeus or Heracles, their connection to the golden apples and their enchanted garden has made them enduring symbols of the magical and wondrous dimensions of the ancient Greek world. More than mere keepers of golden fruit, they embody the mysteries of the West, the liminal spaces between day and night, life and death, and the mortal and divine. There are gardens that exist at the edges of the world, places of beauty and danger, where gods draw the boundary between what is divine and what is human. Two such gardens, born from distant civilizations, mirror each other like reflections across an ancient sea. One rises in the east, in the Hebrew imagination, the Garden of Eden. The other glows in the west, at the edge of the Greek world, the Garden of the Hesperides. Each tells the story of a fruit that should not be touched. Each hides within it the mystery of desire, knowledge, and the long ache for immortality. In Eden, the first humans walk with their creator in a garden of perfect balance. Two trees root in its center, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. The fruit of one offers eternal life, the fruit of the other, forbidden wisdom. When the serpent whispers to Eve, the moment of choice becomes inevitable. She reaches for the fruit, she eats, and she awakens. Paradise begins to dissolve, and consciousness itself begins. Humanity, in this sense, gains knowledge, but it's at the cost of innocence, of belonging, and of eternal life. Now turn westward, to the twilight edge of the Greek cosmos, where the Hesperides, daughters of the evening, tend a sacred grove. In their garden grow the golden apples, a wedding gift from the earth goddess Gaia to goddess Hera, queen of heaven. These fruits too promise immortality, and they too are guarded by a serpent, in this case the serpent dragon Ladon, coiled around the tree, ever watchful. When Heracles is sent to steal the apples, he has to outwit both the serpent and the goddesses. He succeeds, but only by deception, and the apples, once brought into the mortal world, they sow discord and destiny. One of them, thrown by Eris, the goddess of strife, will one day spark the Trojan War. Two gardens, two serpents, two acts of transgression, and the same shimmering fruit, knowledge, life, the forbidden divine. The stories come from worlds apart, the ancient Near East and the Hellenic Mediterranean, yet they spiral around the same archetype, the primordial garden, the womb of creation, the place where the human and the divine first meet. In both, the serpent is not simply evil, it's the guardian of mystery, the initiator into wisdom. It invites the crossing of a boundary, and with that crossing comes transformation. For Eve, it's the awakening of self-consciousness. For Heracles, the testing of heroic will. Both fall from innocence into awareness. Both leave paradise altered. One is exiled, the other is exalted. The garden, then, is not merely a place. It's a state of being, the unbroken intimacy between spirit and matter, and the fruit shining on its branch. It's the call to evolve, to know, to become more than what we were. The serpent, always coiled nearby, keeps the threshold. Perhaps these twin gardens, one at the dawn of humanity, the other at the sunset of myth, perhaps they tell the same story, that wisdom is never free, that awakening is always a form of exile, and that every paradise lost becomes the seed of consciousness gained. The Hesperides remain amongst the most intriguing figures in Greek mythology. More than just keepers of the golden apples, they embody the mysteries of the West, the liminal spaces between day and night, life and death, the mortal and divine. Their gardens were places of enchantment and danger, treasures that inspired heroes like Heracles and clever suitors like Melanion, and symbols of abundance, fertility, and the eternal quest for immortality. What makes the Hesperides enduringly fascinating is not just the golden apples or the treasures they guard, but their role as custodians of balance and guardians of thresholds. They remind us that the world of myth is never just about action or adventure. It's about the delicate dance between humans and the divine, between desire and restraint, and between what is fleeting and what is eternal. As we leave their garden behind, we carry with us the glimmer of those golden apples, a reminder that in myth, as in life, some of the most powerful treasures are the stories themselves, the lessons that they carry, and the wonder that they inspire.